Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, we'll take a deep look at the heart of a true worshiper.
Hey, when you think about God's presence, His manifest presence, His being with you versus God's gifts and His blessings, what do you tend to want more? Hey, a true worshiper, he has a desire to know God. Lord, let me know your ways so that I may know you. You can check to see, hey, do I want more of God or do I just want His things? Do I seek His face or do I seek His hand?
Moses was close to God like few people in the history of the world have ever been close to God. He walked with God and he saw him do great things. And we can learn a lot as we open up the heart of Moses and see what was in there. The heart of a true worshiper. Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, he continues in his series, The Heart of Worship, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, with a lesson that has a more focused title. It's entitled, The Heart of the Worshiper. Open your Bible to Exodus chapter 33. Here's Pastor Jeff to explore the heart of the worshiper.
You know, God had done awesome things for His people. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 plus years, and the Lord raised up Moses, and the Lord brought Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And you know the story, they went through, they got to the Red Sea, and they thought their goose was cooked, but God parted the Red Sea, drowned Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea after His people safely crossed. And the people experienced God, who is a consuming fire. He scared them to death. And Moses told them, listen, the Lord doesn't want you to be afraid of Him, but He wants you to fear Him. And then he shared with them the word of the Lord, and you know what the people said? All that the Lord has commanded, we will do. We will be obedient. But then Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days. And the people started to say, well, where's this Moses guy? We don't know what's happened to Moses, but we know one thing. We need a God who will go before us. Fashion for us a God. And so they made a golden calf, and they began to worship at the foot of the golden calf, a great, great sin. And when Moses came down from the mountain with the two tablets of stone, he was angry. And Moses comes before the Lord, and Moses prays. And in his prayer, that's where you see the heart of the worshiper. A true worshiper has a desire to know God. Look at verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, Yahweh, see, you said to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know with whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. Moses asked God, Lord, let me know your ways, so that I can know you. God, I want to know you. What's in the heart of a true worshiper? A desire to know God. Not to know about Him, but to know Him. Not to know what God can do, but to know His ways. Second discovery, a true worshiper has a desire for the presence of God. Now, here's the situation. When the people sinned, a terrible, horrible sin by making the golden calf and worshiping the golden calf, God was very angry. And then it says in verse 2, and I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, because you are an obstinate people, lest I destroy you on the way. God said He wasn't going with them. Hey, you're going to go to the promised land, Moses, but I'm not going with you. I'll send an angel. And Moses is like, wait a minute, God, if you don't go with us, then we're not going. If you're not in that land, then sign me out. I'm not going. It's all about your presence, Lord. And that's what we long for. How about for you? Here's the question. Do you desire His presence or His presence? P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Do you desire God, or do you desire what God gives you and what God can do for you and God's promised land for you? You know what so many people do? They seek God's hand, what he can give them. They seek his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, his gifts, his blessings. And God says, is that all you want? Or do you want me? Moses wanted God. He's ready to say, forget the promised land, Lord. I'm just going to go where you go. If you're just going to hang out here at Mount Sinai in the desert, well, that's where I'm going to be, because I'm going to be where you are. And don't send us up from here if you're not going with us, Lord, because it's by your presence, it's by your going with us that distinguishes us from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth. Hey, when you think about that, God's presence, his manifest presence, his being with you versus God's gifts and his blessings, what do you tend to want more? The heart of a true worshiper says, God, I want you. And when you bless me and when you answer my prayer, then I praise you. And it causes my heart to grow more deeply in love with you. It doesn't get me to say, see you later, bye. You can check to see, hey, do I want more of God, or do I just want his things? Do I seek his face, or do I seek his hand? You know how else you can tell? Very simple. How much time do you spend with God? Moses, in chapter 33, he's always going into this place called the tent of meeting. You know, they're camping out in the desert. They call it the wilderness in the Bible, but the wilderness of the Bible is the desert. And so they're out in this desert, and it's just dust and rocks and this huge camp of people. We don't know exactly how many, 1 million, 2 million people. There's a lot of people. It's a big, big camp. Outside of the camp, there's a tent. It's called the tent of meeting. And Moses would go there. And when he would go there, God would descend on that tent and they would spend time together. And that's where the scripture says in verse 11, the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Now, Moses didn't actually see God's face, because we're going to find out in a minute, God says, no man can see my face and live. But when the Bible says he spoke to him face to face, what that is, that's an expression that meant God spoke clearly to Moses. He spoke openly to Moses, as a friend would speak to a friend. And Moses had this relationship with the Lord, and he would spend so much time with the Lord that the skin of his face would shine because he had been speaking with the Lord. That's pretty awesome. And see, in this day and age, you say, well, Jeff, that doesn't happen. I mean, I don't know anybody who the skin of his face shines. Hey, I've met lots of people who walk closely with God, and God is just all over them. You don't see an actual visible shining coming off of their skin, but you can tell they've been in the presence of the Lord. I had the privilege of meeting Bill Bright when I was in college. God was just all over that guy. One of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Johnny Erickson Tada. God is just all over that woman who is in a body that's all broken down, and she's been in a wheelchair for 40 plus years. The joy of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the power of God is on her. Why is that? Because she spends time with God. You can't have that if you don't spend time with God. And the time, the amount of time you and I spend with God reveals, do I seek his face or do I just want his hand? Hey, a true worshiper, the heart of a true worshiper, he has a desire to know God. Lord, let me know your ways so that I may know you. He has a desire to see or to experience the presence of God. And discovery number three, a true worshiper has a desire to see the glory of God. The Lord said to Moses in verse 17, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. Ah, that was in his heart. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your ways. Lord, I want your presence more than I want my next breath. Lord, show me your glory. The word for glory is the Hebrew word kabod. Kabod, it means weight, literally means weight. It carries with it the idea of abundance and splendor, the weight of God, the majesty and splendor of God. Lord, I want to see that. The glory of God is really his goodness, because he answers in verse 19. God says, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. All my goodness, that's my kabod, that's my glory, that's my weight, that's my splendor. You're going to get to see all my goodness. Ah, but Moses, not really all of it, because you can't see my face. No man can see my face and live. Lord, Moses, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to cover you there with my hand, and I'm going to pass by you, and I'm going to let you see the backside of my glory, but you can't see the front side of my glory. Why? Because if you did, you'd die. No man can see my face and live. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he saw the angels. And what do the angels do? They have six wings, and with two they cover their face. They're in the presence of God. They cover their face before the Shekinah, the glory of God. Wow. You know what's such an awesome truth in the book of the Revelation? It says in heaven that his people see his face. In heaven, we get to see God's face. On earth, we can't see his face. No man can see God's face and live. And so the Lord says, I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. You're going to experience a measure of my glory. And so he tells Moses, you come see me tomorrow. We got an appointment, Mo. You come see me tomorrow. You bring some tablets, because you remember you got mad and you broke those other tablets. So we got to make some new tablets. And so you come to Mount Sinai in Exodus 34 with the tablets. Don't have anybody else come with you. And you come up and I'm going to meet you. I'm going to show you my glory. It says in verse 5 of chapter 34, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him, Moses, as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, this is so critical. This is so important. This is God's goodness. This is who God is. This is God's resume right here. The Lord. Yahweh, it's Lord in all caps. Yahweh, God. It's God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Stop right there. Have you ever thought to yourself, when you think about God, that God is a God of judgment. God is a God of justice. God is a God who is tough. God is a God, boy, you better be careful around God. You better walk on eggshells around God. He's got a bag of thunderbolts in one arm and a big club in the other arm, and you get out of line and whack, you get popped by God. It's on God's resume. The Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. That is God. That's the picture that you need to have hanging in your mind about God. You say, well, Jeff, is God not a God of judgment? Yes. But do you notice that it's all compassion and grace and love and forgiveness? And then it says in verse 7, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. What kind of a God would he be if he didn't punish the guilty? What kind of a judge would God be? He's the judge of all the earth. What kind of a judge would God be if he said, well, you know, yeah, you killed 25 people, but, you know, you had a bad day. You know, come on in. He's not like that. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. It doesn't mean that God judges you for your grandfather's sin. It means you're going to struggle with that. That bent is going to be in you. And here's the thing about God. He shows loving kindness to thousands. As the New Living says, to a thousandth generation. He visits the iniquity, the twistedness, the bent to the third and fourth generation. Hey, what would it be if you saw God's glory? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You say, Jeff, how can I see God's glory? Well, you can believe him. You can pray and you can believe him. His glory is seen by those who believe. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? We often say seeing is believing. But according to the Lord, believing is seeing. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. Lord, show me your glory. That's in the heart, deep in the heart of the worshiper. They want to see the goodness of God. They want to experience the weight of God. And Lord Jesus, we want to experience your glory. So the last thing in the heart of a true worshiper, he has a desire to get low before God. Look at verse 8. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. Man, when God passed by and he saw his glory, he was hidden in the cleft of the rock and he saw his glory and he was like, whoa, bam, got down low. Made haste to get low and bow and worship. When you find in the Bible people encountering God, what do? They get down on their face before the Lord. When Moses met the Lord at the burning bush, take your shoes off. The place on which you're standing is holy ground. Moses, there's not going to be 1 inch of shoe leather for you to stand up on. You get down. When Joshua met the Lord before the conquest at Jericho, he saw the Lord. He was a warrior, his captain, and he came with his sword drawn. And Joshua said, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And this one that he saw said, no, but I come as captain of the Lord of hosts. Take your shoes off, Joshua. The place on which you're standing is holy ground. He saw a pre-incarnate visit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got low before the Lord. Hey, that's what worship is. You get low because it's not about me. It's all about you. It's not about magnifying me. It's not about making me look taller. It's about me getting lower. He must increase and I must decrease. The Lord says in the book of Isaiah, but to this one will I look, to him who is humble and contrite in heart and who trembles at my word. You can't be proud and walk with God. You can't be proud and please God, because God hates pride. You can't be proud and experience the grace of God, because God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And so here you have in Moses, he gets low before the Lord. The Bible says of Moses, he was the most humble man in all the earth, humble before the Lord. His face would shine, and he had all this power, and he could talk to the Lord. And if the Lord was going to destroy his people, Moses would intercede, and God would listen to Moses. God was going to destroy the people after they made the golden calf. Moses prayed for them, and God, the Bible says, changed his mind. All right, Moses, I'll listen to you. Wow, he had tremendous influence with Almighty God. He's the most humble man on the face of the earth. He got low before the Lord. Do you get low? Do you realize I'm nothing, he's everything? I was talking to a friend the other day, and sometimes they think, well, who do you think you are? I said, let me tell you who I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ. And the word for servants is a galley slave. You know, they'd have the big ships. If you've ever seen the movie Ben-Hur, you had the slaves down in the bowels of the ship and they were chained and they had the oars and they were making the ship go. That's what Paul said he was. He's a galley slave. He's just moving the ship. He's just pushing the oar, pulling on the oar. That's what I am. Hopefully that's what you see yourself as. You're nothing, nobody. I'm a nothing, nobody. He's everything, so we get low. He must increase and I must decrease, and that's the Christian life. As you grow in the Christian life, it's more of Jesus, it's less of you. It's less and less and less of you.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And as we've learned today, to worship in spirit and in truth, Christ must become more. And we must become less. This is the pattern that you'll find in the heart of a true worshiper. Stay with us. Pastor Jeff Shreve returns with some final, powerful thoughts about the heart of the true worshiper in just a moment. I'm sure you'll agree that there has never been a more urgent time to preach the gospel. The Bible tells us in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. People all around us desperately need to experience real truth, love, and hope that can only be found in Jesus. And that's what you help do, you help make possible through your generous support from His Heart. This December is a huge month for us because It is the foundation of all of next year. We've set a goal of $350,000 as our year-end goal to help us expand the ministry and lead more people to Jesus in the year ahead. Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for this ministry, receives no income from it. We're currently heard on 840 stations around the country every day. Now, to thank you for giving $25 or more to help us reach our goal, we'd like to send you the brand new devotional book from Pastor Jeff that is called The Heart of Worship, and it'll be a beautiful new daily devotional book for 2020. Pastor Jeff helped to write this book, and you'll learn to truly worship and enjoy your time with God, meditate on His Word every day, and do that through praise and prayer. To get your copy of The Heart of Worship devotional book, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or simply go online to fromhisheart.org. And we pray that you'll be encouraged in knowing that you're making a world-size impact for God's kingdom from right where you are. Thank you again for your generous support. Now let's conclude this powerful lesson from Pastor Jeff called The Heart of the Worshipper.
You know why Bill Bright, when I met him, why he was so powerful in his person, why he just kind of had this, wow, it was almost like a glow? It's because he had decreased, and it was Jesus who had increased. Johnny Erickson, why is there such power? Because she had decreased, and Jesus had increased, and she had gotten low. And she desired to know the Lord, and Bill Bright desired to know the Lord, not about his acts, but to know his ways and to have his presence and to experience his glory. And the wonderful thing is, what Moses had, what Bill Bright had, what Johnny Erickson Tada has, you can have and I can have. Remember this, God has no favorites, but he does have intimates. And you can be an intimate with God. Maybe you need to pray as I have been praying. God, change me. So often, Lord, I want your hand and not your, don't seek your face. So often, Lord, I just want the promised land. I just want the good things. So often, Lord, I don't pray about your knowing your ways. I just want to see your miracles and your acts. Oh God, change me. Did you notice that all these prayers that Moses prayed, they got answered? He wasn't asking for things. Let me know your ways that I might know you. Lord, let me experience your presence. Let me see your glory. And God answered every one of those prayers. Maybe you have an issue that you're facing, a difficulty that you're facing, and you say, my prayers aren't getting answered. Maybe you're praying the wrong thing. Why don't you start praying, God, show me your ways so that I would know you. God, I want your presence more than I want my next breath. And God, I want to see your glory. And I'm going to get low before you.
Are you so busy expressing to God your ways that you're not seeing his ways for your life? Today's message, called The Heart of the Worshipper, is from Pastor Jeff Shreve's six-message series, The Heart of Worship. We invite you to go online for details on how to get this series in multiple formats, CD, DVD, MP3, or on a USB flash drive, as well as the transcript formats. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. And remember, for your support of $25 or more this month, we'd like to say thank you by sending you Pastor Jeff's new 52-week devotional book for 2020. It's also called The Heart of Worship. Go online for details at fromhisheart.org. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for being with us today, and we trust that you'll join us for tomorrow's broadcast and the next lesson in this Heart of Worship series, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.